Hello and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast with me, Roisin Hasty. We've got another special episode for you this week from one of our speakers at the podcast show a few weeks ago that we didn't want you to miss out on. She's presented on BBC Radio 1, 2 and 6 and 5 Live, as well as Virgin Radio. And she's turned her passion for film and music into a very successful weekly podcast called Soundtracking. Of course, it's the hugely talented Edith Bowman.
Our latest guest on Soundtracking is the man responsible for one of the blockbuster cinematic events of the summer. Colin Trevorrow has played a part in the last three Jurassic movies, World, Fallen Kingdom and now Dominion, which he wrote and directed. And we'll begin with one of Michael Giacchino's cues from the film Girls Can Alpha Too.
Colin, how are you?
I'm really well. Welcome to my home.
In this episode, Edith chats to fellow ARIA Award winner Abby McCarthy during a live event for the Radio Academy. They discuss her hands-on approach to putting out the podcast every single week and the guest, which has reduced her to tears. Oh, and just a heads up, there's some strong language quite near the start.
Let's start right at the beginning. What kind of sparked the initial idea?
Rejection started the initial idea, if I'm being honest. You know, I was lucky that I'd kind of built up, a relationship with a lot of kind of film companies and things through involving a lot of things on my Radio 1 lunchtime show that I was doing. And then I started doing bits and bobs at Six Music, and I just kind of felt like there was a conversation to be had. So I started doing a little strand on Six Music that then became sort of seasonal. So you'd get sort of three shows here or four shows 6 months later. And I kind of went, I was like, look, I could do this every week. You know, I feel like I can fill this slot every week with some really interesting conversation, but they just didn't have the slot. You know, they can't create slots.
Yeah.
So I was like, excuse my language, but fuck it, I'm going to go and do it myself. But I didn't know how to really. So through two Bens, one who still works with me and Sean has done from day one, and then another friend of ours who's in production, he kind of knew that world a little bit. And we go, how do we do this? And so he sort of did all that kind of sort of side of it. And then Ben and I just started trying to work out getting the guests. And so because of those relationships, I went to Disney, started big, and said, any chance I could get some time with Jon Favreau? I want to launch this new podcast and I want to talk to him about music. And they were like, oh, nobody talks to him about music. Yes. So he was our first ever recorded guest. And that was an amazing kind of almost calling card to have to go to people. Okay, we've got Jon Favreau. This is what we want to do. We want to talk to creatives about music. And it's unique and brilliant and beautiful relationship with Moving Image. And that was great. And it really opened some doors for us. And since then, that was August 2016 when we launched. Since then, just the two of us, Ben and myself, we have released an episode every week, bar 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Since August 2016. And we are so proud of it. And we love making the show. And that kind of doesn't tire, really.
So it's like over 300 episodes out there in the world now.
Yeah.
So how has the podcast kind of grown and developed in that time from you being like, right, I've got this idea, to it now being out there?
Yeah. Nothing much has really changed with regards to the content of it, really. There's still an ongoing debate and discussion around music and music licensing, and obviously we're restricted to that, but because so much of what we do is around review. So what we wanted to try and do as well is to kind of to celebrate the music, and we create playlists on Spotify for every episode so that people, and link through to that so that you can listen to the podcast, then click through and you can listen to all the music in its entirety as it's heard within the show. And we kind of, the plan sort of with that side of things is to kind of move forward and to then offer people the chance to buy the soundtracks and all that kind of thing. So there's kind of discussions going on about, you know, kind of really giving back to that side of things. Mm-hmm. And really encouraging people to invest in soundtracks. So that it hasn't really changed that much. Technology's changed.
Yeah.
The number of podcasts has definitely changed. And weirdly, through lockdown, you know, you're kind of like, okay, are we going to be able to keep doing this? And weirdly, it made it easier for a number of reasons. Doing interviews on Zoom, the quality might not quite be as good if people don't have microphones and stuff. But what it gave us as well was video.
Yeah.
Gave us a visual. So, you know, I started learning Final Cut and all that kind of stuff and how to edit little videos and put them up. And that's kind of been amazing as well. So it's almost given us another addition. So I'm kind of almost trying to go, do you want to do an interview in person? Maybe. but I kind of was always, prior to lockdown as well, slightly apprehensive about doing things remotely.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it would cut. It would almost create a barrier. But weirdly, I feel like there's a real intimacy you can find in doing interviews on Zoom. So I've kind of loved that side of it as well. And it's also opened up the potential of guests. Like prior to lockdown, we would hardly ever be given the opportunity to speak to composers. And that's not through want of trying. But because it with lockdown and they are now part of the remote touring party, it's a case of sending them a link and you can speak to Terence Blanchard or you can speak to Alexander Desplat or you can speak to Isabel Waller-Bridge. It's amazing. Mm. Yeah.
You're clearly having the best time doing the podcast. But
flipping love it. I mean, you know, it's been 6 years and I just love making it so much.
But what have the biggest challenges been? There must have been some sort of difficult bits along the way.
I mean, listen, we are a very small independent podcast. You know, we don't have a broadcaster. We don't have that kind of big machine punching us out there into the world. And I think as well, we can be seen as being quite niche. But one thing that we really wanted to make sure we did was kind of cater for all fans. It is about music and film, but it's also, sometimes it does go deep. Sometimes it's a real kind of deep dive. But then other times it might be Bradley Cooper talking about A Star Is Born, you know. So there's, I feel like we have different levels of kind of, you know, steps into that world. And from having so many episodes now, I've set up a new website. I can't remember when, because weirdly lockdown has that weird thing where time has no significance in a weird way. But we launched a new podcast that made it really easy for people to search for the episodes in a kind of lovely library format. So whether it's through the film, through it's the director or the music, you can kind of go on the website and search and find people if you're interested in their work, really.
Yeah. And you've had some phenomenal guests on Soundtrack, and obviously you've been name-dropping some of them along the way. And I think it's such a great varied list of people as well, isn't it? It's film directors, composers, but you've got actors, musicians. Who's been the guest you're like, hang on a minute, we've done it?
I mean, Spielberg recently.
Yeah.
That was just, I might cry again talking about it. I genuinely went downstairs after I did it in my little office at home and cried at my husband's face. God, I am going to cry thinking about it. It's crazy. That was such a moment because it's kind of, you know, we're this, God, I really am upset about this. It's so crazy. We are a very small little thing. And the idea that Steven Spielberg's going to give us 15 minutes of his time when he's promoting this film around the world is crazy. And when they said, we can only give you 15 minutes, because, you know, I normally ask for about, you know, between 30, 45 minutes up to an hour. And I was like, I'll take it. I'll take it. 15 minutes is great. And he was amazing, you know, and he's why I love film.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was kind of, and his enthusiasm hasn't wavered. It's infectious. And he talks about it with like childlike enthusiasm and... And yeah, it was amazing. And it's that kind of crazy thing. I don't know if anybody's had it as well, where our Wi-Fi is really bad at home. So when I have to do these interviews, I've got to make sure everybody else in the house is off the Wi-Fi. So I've kind of like got signs around the house that I put up to make sure people don't go on the Wi-Fi if they're out and they come in. And so 5 minutes before doing Spielberg, I was like just shouting downstairs going, everybody make sure you're off the Wi-Fi. Okay, this is really important, this one. I know they're all important, but this one particularly, please don't go on the Wi-Fi. And then, so they were all kind of downstairs playing cards and Scrabble when I came down, and I did come down and they were all kind of looked up and went, how did it go? And I was like, burst into tears going, it was amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
And we have got a clip from Steven Spielberg. So try and hold it together if
you can. Tissues.
I was doing a rewrite on a script that myself and my writing partner had sold to 20th Century Fox, and they asked me to do the rewrite And in order to do the rewrite, I needed to be inspired. So I went to the record store and I had just seen a movie, which I love the score from, called The Reavers. And I bought the record and brought the record home. And I wrote the entire rewrite, did the entire rewrite to the score of The Reavers, and loved the score so much. I made myself the promise, if I ever get lucky enough to get hired to direct a feature film, whoever this John Williams dude is, I'm going to go to him and beg him to make my first movie with me, which is exactly what I did when I got Sugarland Express with Goldie Hawn. I went right to John, told him my story of how I did this rewrite listening to The Reavers and how I fell in love with this Cowboys score. And John liked the script and liked me, I guess, and he signed on. And we've done, out of 35 films, I think we've done 32 out of 35 films together.
Oh, I email John Williams's people twice a week. I've threatened to go and doorstep him. I saw this clip of this kid outside with his mum playing the Darth Vader theme from Empire Strikes Back on a trumpet or a French horn outside his house, and he came out. And I was like, I could just do that and talk about him outside his house and he might come out and chat to me.
You will get him. You'll get him eventually.
I mean, that's the dream.
What I love so much about the podcast, I think, is just hearing a different side to people, because you can tell they're so relaxed because, you know, they're talking about music, aren't they? They're talking about something that they love, especially these people who are often on a whirlwind junket run, aren't they? They're like, right, okay, I've said what the film's about maybe 50 times today. I can imagine you almost see their shoulders drop and they're so happy to be there.
Yeah, because sometimes publicists are crap and they don't tell their kind of, you know, their talent what the interview's about, that they're about to do, or who they are, or what it, you know, the subject matter of it. So most of the time I kind of, particularly in person, I'd kind of go in and kind of go, hello, I'm Edith. And I never ever assume anyone knows what the podcast is or me, how would they, whatever. And so I kind of go, we're going to talk about music if that's okay. And you can, with so many people, just see their shoulders kind of drop and they go, ah, okay.
It's going to be fun.
And it's lovely to see that, because then it's almost a kind of visual sign of going, okay, this hopefully is going to be all right.
And Spielberg clearly had a good time because he said he'd actually love to come back on the podcast, which we're going to listen to now.
I've never really done a movie score show before, and you can probably tell how much in love with movie scores I am and how much more there's left to be said. So let's definitely do this again when it can be arranged. I'd love to do your show again.
Wow. Do you just listen to that on repeat?
That's my ringtone on my phone. It's my actual ringtone. I mean, why has no one talked to Steven Spielberg about movie scores before as well?
Yeah.
What's going on with people?
Yeah, that is bonkers,
crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah. The podcast, of course, comes from a very, you know, authentic, passionate, genuine place. And you can just tell you're so excited when you're doing it, which I love. Does that make it easier in a way to connect with your guests?
I think I come at it as a fan. I get slightly kind of twitchy and nervous when people kind of refer to me as a journalist or a critic. I'm neither of those things. I think that's kind of where I come to most stuff, whether I'm doing, you know, radio or TV or my podcast, is that I come at it with a genuine enthusiasm as a fan. And so that's kind of, sometimes it can be a bit over gushy, but that's because I'm genuinely kind of pinch myself. I can't believe I'm doing this and I'm getting to talk to these people. So yeah, and even if on the occasion where the film's not lived up to what you expected or hoped it would be, you can still find something positive to talk to that person about.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you get the best out of your guests then? Because you talk to such a variety. How would you say you kind of make them feel really comfortable and really kind of give something to the podcast?
I really try and talk to them as people. So I don't think of them as being like big movie stars or big directors. Like with Spielberg, I obviously kind of like gushed at him, but then I just talked to him. I knew that his enthusiasm for what he does is so prevalent, and particularly with West Side Story and how important it was to him personally. And so I kind of related to that as a kid watching it with my mum, and so I told him that. And I think it's almost kind of revealing things about yourself within the interview as well, and the conversation, because I always think about them as conversations rather than interviews. I want to have a chat with people, and it's really interesting because you can tell. I did some interviews the other day on a premiere, and there was just one interview out of all of the ones that I did that you could tell that person wasn't really comfortable, and it's because they were nervous about having a conversation, and they almost just kind of gave you those planned answers. And so for me, it's really about trying to sort of ignite a conversation rather than an interview.
I've got another clip to share now. This is when you sat down with Johnny Greenwood and he told you about his new best friend, which was a cello.
Stephen.
I've got a cello called, my wife thinks it's the name of the schoolboy who owned it, but I think it's the name of the cello. It's called Stephen Bennett. I have got it right here. Check it out.
Oh, wow.
And these are all the marks on the fingerboard to show me where the actual notes are in tune. And that's, and that's Stephen Bennett. And he was £250 from a shop in Whitney. And I love him very much. But yeah.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, sure. It's such a schoolboy name as well, isn't it? Stephen Bennett.
What a lovely clip. He was, that was another one I've been trying to get forever. And it was bonkers. I've been sending, I've been coming in at all angles, you know, Kevin McCabe, who does Radiohead's publicity, you know, radio plug-in, or the film companies, Netflix, Power of the Dog, all that kind of stuff. And I got this email one day from Kevin kind of going, so listen, Johnny's got one of his best mates lives really close to where you are now. And so he was just saying that maybe if he's visiting, you can hook up. And I was like, okay,
yep,
can he have your email address? And I was like, no, of course he can. And then I got this random email from Johnny going, look, I'm not going to be down your way anytime soon, but should we do this in the next couple of weeks? And I was like, oh my God, yes, please. And then, you know, it was, unbelievable. Yeah, what a lovely man.
Yeah.
And just, again, similar like with Steve, loves what he does. Just mm-hmm. so into what he does. It's like a kid in a playground. Mm-hmm.
So what do you see the podcast doing next? Like, what are your big kind of future plans?
The video element of it's been really interesting. I don't want to mess with the podcast as it is, because I feel like it's this lovely thing that doesn't really need to be anything else, for me anyway. And, you know, I almost kind of feel like we're kind of on this lovely road, and we kind of pick up friends along the way. You know, we pick up listeners. We're not kind of a big marketing driven thing. But I feel like there is an opportunity outside of the podcast to maybe create little specials, whether that be live performances or whether that be some film stuff. I shot a pilot before lockdown, actually, which was kind of not the podcast, but a sort of almost an arm of the podcast. So I've got that to kind of take out to people, which is a bit more focused on things. But I think that I want to keep the podcast it is, but I feel like the brand Soundtracking has the opportunity to have branches and arms that lead off to different things. It'd be amazing to have an orchestra and do a live Soundtracking show that incorporated a number of composers and directors that either could be there in person or whatnot. So you've got to aim high or dream high.
Big thanks to Edith and Abby. You can listen to Soundtracking in all the usual podcast places. And whilst you're there, please hit like and subscribe on this podcast too. We love seeing your support. And if there's a project you'd like to hear us discussing, you can email us your suggestions to podcast@radioacademy.org. Thanks for listening.